56% of Israeli homes still lack safe rooms, and that many Israelis rely on just a handful of public shelters. This is why the JNF South Africa's emergency appeal campaign is urgent and could not come at a better time. The JNF is raising funds to build and reinforce bomb shelters and protected spaces in Israel, critical infrastructure in light of the ongoing missile threat from Iran. And with me to discuss this further is Michael Kransdorf, the CEO of the Jewish National Fund of South Africa. Michael, thanks so much for joining me on The Home Run. Could you share the latest verified figures? What percentage of Israeli homes, as far as you know, lack private protected rooms? And if you know, how many public shelters are available nationwide?
Hi, Paula. Thanks so much for having me on the show. Your statistics were correct that only 56% of homes actually have private shelters. So that leaves sort of almost half of Israelis without their own shelter, a bomb shelter or safe room to use when these missiles attack.
And what's particularly concerning about that, sorry to interrupt you, was that it seems that not always, but most of the people who are being injured or killed in Israel by the Iranian missiles are people who were not in bomb shelters. Am I right?
That's right. You know, we actually got an interesting story of a residential apartment that was bombed and badly bombed. I saw pictures of it over the weekend, and the whole family were actually in the safe room and they managed to survive. So it was quite an amazing story. So and as you point out, the people that have been injured and unfortunately killed, you know, they haven't actually been in shelters. So, you know, shelters do help save lives, and it's important that people, you know, use shelters and have shelters that are easily available. I'm sure you know that, like, a lot of the older buildings in Israel and communities, you know, that were built before these kind of rockets were common, don't actually have shelters, and that's the problem. We were contacted actually just last week by someone whose aunt and uncle, an elderly couple from South Africa who live in Efrat these days. And they left many years ago and live in the old part of Efrat. And they were telling the story of, you know, there are no shelters anywhere near them. To be honest, there are no public shelters available. So when the sirens go, they have to get into the car and drive 10 minutes to their daughter's house, who's in like the newer part of Efrat, and they have a shelter in their home. So an elderly couple, you know, driving 10 minutes with the sirens going, it's crazy. And I mean, that's not a unique story. I think there are lots of Israelis that are in that position. And so that's why we've decided to step in and help.
And with lots of Israelis being in that position, and as you say, over half of homes unprotected, how is your emergency appeal prioritizing where to build or where to upgrade shelters?
It's a great question. So we work very closely with our parent body in Israel, the JNF KKL, JNF Keren Kayem Etel Israel, and they're in touch with local authorities, and they've got a project which we contributing towards, where the Home Front Command's identified 2,500 public bomb shelters that exist but are unusable for a lot of reasons. They haven't been maintained well by certain local authorities. You know, South Africa is not unique in that municipalities in some areas don't always do what they're supposed to be doing. So the same is true in Israel, unfortunately.
No, I don't believe that.
There are actually shelters available, but they haven't been maintained, and a lot of them are used by drug addicts and homeless people as well. So KKL's working closely with Home Front Command and local authorities, and getting local people in the communities. They've got obviously engineers. KKL has a lot of structural engineers. They build a lot of the infrastructure projects in Israel, so they have the expertise. But they're working with local authorities and KKL engineers and going to these bomb shelters and seeing what they can do to actually upgrade them, to make them usable, and then working with people in the local communities around those areas to actually also volunteer their time and help. Some of it's, you know, not just structural work. Some of it's just cleaning out, you know, filth and garbage and stuff like that, and repainting them. And so it's actually a really awesome project That it's also getting some community involvement in Israel, that people are coming together as a community in those areas and working to fix some of their broken public infrastructure.
I guess you will believe me if I tell you that when I lived in Israel, the office we had was a big building, 8 floors, and the mamads were being rented out. I probably shouldn't say this on radio, but they were storage rooms for people. So, I mean, a lot of those mamads are, I mean, some of them in public areas, in public shelters, are locked and only open when the sirens go off. And even when they go off, there can be problems. So what kind of challenges does the JNF face in ensuring that these shelters are accessible and stocked with essentials like water and hygiene supplies?
So as I said, the changes that they're being, as you pointed out, they're being used for the wrong purposes. The public ones in bad areas, drug addicts, homeless people. So we've got to work with the local community to actually move those people, clean them up. From a structural point of view, there might be need for extra cement and to reinforce the bomb shelters. I think it's also worth saying that a lot of these bomb shelters weren't set up for ballistic missiles. You know, I think the kind of rockets that the bomb shelters were historically built for were not as big and intense and had such a big bomb load, especially when they're putting cluster bombs. I don't know if you've seen over the weekend, but pictures of cluster bombs in these ballistic missiles. So I think there does need to be some structural reinforcement, but also working with local communities and neighborhoods to make sure that people keep those shelters open, don't use it as a garbage dump, don't use it for drug addicts. So it's quite an interesting project because you need local buy-in. It's not just building something and leaving it. You need local buy-in to maintain it and protect it.
And it's urgent. We need it right now. Michael, I don't mean to put you on the spot, and I can't even answer this question, and I lived in Israel for nearly 20 years. But can you explain the difference between a private mamad, a communal mamak, and a public miklat zibur? Are some safer or more urgently needed than others?
So the public ones are sort of, you know, in spaces where you're not near your home. So if you're at the park and or at your kid's playground, or you're on the way to the bus, you know, so those are the public ones that are common are what we've done a lot actually historically in the south, building. I don't know if most people that have been to the south will drive along the road, and you'll see lots of these concrete buildings, blocked buildings, like rectangle blocked buildings. Those are the public bomb shelters that have historically been built. The others would be that you have a room in your house in your flat that's reinforced, but it's, you know, it's not. And then the third would be sort of underground, that you'd have a proper basement room that's protected.
And then there's also safety on the stairs, which I think part of the appeal goes towards. How realistic is it for families without nearby shelters to rely on ordinary stairwells? And how are protected stairwell solutions being funded? Is that part of your campaign?
No, so we're not focusing on stairwells. We're really just focusing on public bomb shelters. Look, I think stairwells are a good second best, but because of where they're in the building, that you're protected because you're not near a window, you won't be hit by shrapnel. But they're not necessarily reinforced to the same extent as a formal bomb shelter. So we're focusing on the public bomb shelters that would be near schools, playgrounds, near parks, where people will be out and about and a siren will go and they won't have time to get back to their home.
And then, Michael, the million-dollar question, although it's not million dollars, the emphasis being on the dollar, from a donor perspective, what does every rand or rand equivalent achieve on the ground? I mean, can we speak directly to the impact of, let's say, 100 rand or 1,000 rand on protecting Israeli families?
Yeah, of course. So you know, we've actually, I know the RAND doesn't go as far as it used to. So we've actually focused on the upgrading of the shelters because we think that we can get more bang for our buck there. Kakal have estimated that it's about $1,000 on average. You know, it depends on the state of the public shelter, but it's about $1,000 on average to upgrade a public shelter, and we've committed as the South Africa's JNF South Africa and the South African Jewish community that we would take on 18 shelters to upgrade as part of this initiative. Obviously, to build a new bomb shelter is also much more expensive, and that's sort of in the region of it depends if where it is and the transport and how easily it can be set up, but that's more in the region of between 150 to 250,000 shekels. So we're hoping to. We have in the past done five or six of those in the south and some in the north. So we'll see how the campaign goes, but we're going to focus on the low-hanging fruit first, which is the 18 upgrades to public bomb shelters. And if the campaign goes well, we're hoping that we can build some new bomb shelters as well.